Oh, Father, we just love you, Lord. We just love you. We just ask, Lord, that you bless our conference call tonight and bless each participant tonight, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, that tonight would be a blessed night because you're the one guiding and leading us, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you bring down this evil, corrupt politicians up there in Washington, D.C., and put one of your Sauls up there, Lord. We just, Pauls, I'm sorry, Pauls up there, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask that you give each one of us a revelation tonight, that we'd be blessed by something that somebody said, Lord, by a praise report, a testimony, or whatever. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished in our lives because we've got our eyes focused on you, Lord, and not on anything in this world or anything in the flesh, Lord. We thank you for leading us by the Spirit, and we just praise you, Lord, for all you're doing in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We got any prayer requests? Okay, I'm going to update you on Lisa. Now, as you know, they've put her up in a room. They call it a hospice room, and that's where they send them to die. They haven't been giving her any kind of food or water for 5 days. This woman's still alive. And Bill goes up there and gives her, puts water on, gives her a, and helps her to eat, feeds her a popsicle and keeping her alive for a reason. And today, he called me and told me that he'd been praying and fasting for the last couple of days for Lisa, and that the Lord told him some things and about what's going on, and we prayed about it, and we're just believing, okay? You know how that some people that go down at an early age in their life and they accept Jesus and think that from that point on, everything's okay. And that's the way she was. And in fact, she never had shown any fruit. And that's what God showed him. And that she was headed for hell. But the prayers of Bill and all the people that have been praying for her have kept her alive so that she could be saved. And so once he figured that out, he called me and we prayed. We prayed the prayer of faith for her, and that God would either take her to hell in heaven or either speak to her or whatever it takes. And he's going to ask the Lord if he wants him to go up there and tell her what the Lord had told him. And and whatever God wants to do. But God does these for a special reason. And that special reason, I believe, is to bring her out of that state that she's in. Now, she's coherent. He can... And that's what amazes me about the medical field. She's coherent. She knows what's going on around her. And she's just wasting away. Except, but God, but God, she's alive. It's not because of the medical profession, because they've given up on her and they've just set her over in a corner somewhere to die. That's about as plain to me as I've ever seen, that they've taken this human being, that they've taken the gallbladder out. They've taken most of her small intestines out of her body so she can't eat and naturally. She has a hole in her stomach and she has congestive heart failure. And they said there's nothing they can do. But yet this woman is still alive 5 days after they gave up on her and sent her up there to die. So, I don't know. I'm not going to get on a soapbox here. But we need to pray. And I want everybody to pray with me and believe with me and pray in the Spirit while I pray for Lisa. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for showing us the problem that Lisa has had. I thank you, Lord, that now we know how to direct our prayers. We ask, Father, that you grant repentance to her and draw her to you, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to heal her and restore her, and she's going to be a woman on fire for you, Lord. And not only that, Lord, she's going to give her testimony across this land and across the world, and people are going to be helped by it, Lord, encouraged by it. And Father, we thank you for the faith you've given Bill to endure in his faith to see this thing through, Lord. We just, that is so awesome that you've placed that faith in Bill to just keep on keeping on when all else looks to be hopeless. And you've given him joy in his heart. You've given him rest in his heart. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us all here faith to believe for Lisa, salvation and restoration and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of death off of her right now in the name of Jesus, and command you to go now in the name of Jesus. You spirit of infirmity, you go in the name of Jesus. And I command every cell, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to be glorifying you. Because it ain't nothing man could do, because they've already given up on her and thrown her away. So Lord, I thank you for the mighty outpouring that's going to happen because of your glory and your grace and your mercy upon Lisa, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And I believe that everybody in here believes that, right?
Amen, yes. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Me too. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I ask that you give Bill the words to say that you want him to say when he goes up there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Or would like to pray for Lisa?
Michael.
Yeah.
I got a prayer request. David and Leon have been over here. They're still out in the front room. But anyway, our electric bill for last month was $894, and we're trying to figure out what in the world, because it's usually the last couple of years, Darvin's still got the receipts and stuff. It barely ran over 100 during these hot months in the summertime, so we need a miracle. Y'all can just agree with me and pray that God will figure this out and get it fixed for us.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. We're going to believe with you.
Well, Lord, we don't know whether it's the fault of the power company or the meter they got put on the mobile home back here, or we don't know what it is you do. And we're just asking you, Lord, to make it right and get us back into the situation where our bill runs about 104, 105, whatever, that it had the 2 years prior. So we just thank you in Jesus' name. You're a miracle-working God.
Amen. I believe that, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to solve that for Kurt and Darv, and I praise you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? What about a testimony? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you call this, a praise report or testimony or what, but probably both of them. I'll just share a guy that we've been praying for, Jim. We prayed for him several times. We got together with him the other night and some other people that we've been praying for, and he's a trucker, and he was telling us that last week, I think, he was sleeping in his truck, and he woke up, and he woke up and he couldn't breathe. He was just choking. He thought he was going to die because he couldn't get his air. And he heard a voice say, "Take the earring out." And he thought, "Am I going crazy because I can't get my air or what?" And he heard that voice again, said, "Take the earring out." And so he had a hard time because he was trying. He said he just thought he was going to die because he was just really choking. And he got the earring out, and it immediately quit. He could breathe fine. And I had talked to him some years back about that earring, and I had heard that he was, wearing the earring some places, and I'm sure when he'd come around me, he'd take the earring out. But that's just I told him, I said, "You got an awesome testimony of the Lord speaking to you and saving your life, and just an example of what happens when you don't obey God's word."
Amen. Boy, that needs to be broadcast, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, all right. Is this an older guy?
Well, depends on what you call old. I think he's between 40 and 50, I think.
Yeah, okay. Take that earring out. Y'all hear that, don't you? Chris, take that earring out. I'm just kidding. Chris don't have an earring.
That's funny, Michael. Really funny.
Oh, he don't have an earring. I'm just cutting up. All right. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
I guess maybe about a month ago, we were praying for my husband's niece, and her name's Leah. And you prayed too, and because she was having problems with drugs, and they put her into a Christian rehabilitation place. And we were about a week or so ago, we went over and saw her her parents, and I were asking how she was doing, and they said that she's doing really good. And she already was a Christian, but she came back to the Lord and rededicated their life. That's what they called it. And they showed us, he had a film of her because they got to bring her daughter and stay for a while, and they filmed her with her daughter, and she looked really good, and we were just really amazed at how much better she looked than we had remembered her looking, and how much better she seemed and everything. So just wanted to tell you that and praise God for what he's doing with her. She's still going to be in there for like another 9 months, I think. But we just keep praying for her, that she keeps improving and everything.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for taking that spirit of addiction off of her in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you fill her up with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Father, and that she'd be speaking in tongues and prophesying when she comes out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. All right, anybody else? All right, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something? Or a word from God?
I just want to say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer and for just being so faithful to your word, Lord. We just give you all the praise and glory, Lord. We love you, Lord, each one of us here. We love you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, draw us close to you, Lord, to where we could hear your voice when we needed to hear it, and that's every day, all the time. Lord, we ask that you place it in our hearts to run after you in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you give us revelations into these things that are happening. Give us dreams and visions into the things that are going to happen ahead of us. Not only that, Lord, open up your word to more revelations. You know, you have layer upon layer upon layer in that word of God. I've seen it so many times, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you open them up to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Put it in our hearts, Lord, to pray for one another and to pray constantly. Prayer, Lord, and faith go together, Lord, and we thank you that you've given us both and you're putting a hunger in us to be able to pray and intercede for each other, Father God, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're getting everybody in this conference call ready for this great happening of the anointing of the man-child and putting the, and selecting the bride, Lord. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, these people that we're believing for, we just ask, Lord, that you do a mighty quick work in them. Lord, with our natural eyes, it don't look like anything's going to happen. But we know that you can turn them on in, with a switch, just like a light switch, Lord, that you can turn them on to you and they'll come running to you and them demons got to scatter. And Father, we thank you for doing that for these that aren't in one accord with us. But Lord, you're going to bring them into one accord because we're all praying for it, Lord. And you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers. And you're faithful to do that. And we're faithful to hold and endure in our faith to believe that you're doing it, Lord. And I thank you for doing it for these that are lagging, Lord, that they've been tormented by these demons all their lives, and they just think it's normal. But Father, open their eyes to see freedom. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead, Chris.
I asked the Lord for a verse for the folks here in our UBM fellowship, and I've got Romans 2, verse 7. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. And I was just really encouraged. I wanted to share that, all the things that are going on around me and my life and all the things that I see every day and stuff. I'm just so very grateful and thank the Lord that we have this fellowship and this time we can come together and fellowship with the Lord because, you know, we have the truth and I'm just thank the Lord for it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Wade.
I'll let my wife read the verse she has right after I ask this request for prayer for someone. We have a lot of, more than normal lesbians here in the village. And one of them asked me to pray today for someone, she didn't say who, but for drug abuse and for getting free from drugs or drugs or medicine, that she's having a hard time. And my question is, should I pray with a lesbian? I'm rejoicing that she asked me to pray because that's not normally her words, you know. So I'm glad she's asking me to pray, but I don't know if I should join with her in prayer, if that would be a bad thing to do.
Well, she's asking you to pray for someone else, isn't she?
Yes.
Did you ask her if this was a Christian friend?
I don't know who it is. She didn't tell me.
Oh, okay. Well, what I generally tell them is, somebody else got some input on this, go right ahead. But what I generally ask them is, if this is a Christian, we can pray for them. If it's not, we need to pray for their salvation first.
Right. The person who I think it is her lover. Went into the hospital. They both need salvation. But what I'm saying is, it's surprising me that she's asking for prayer.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign. Just tell her that you'll pray for her when you get back to your room, and then you pray for salvation for them, and you pray that God would deliver them from that homosexual spirit.
Yes.
And that's what I do.
And my wife had a verse she wanted to read.
Two verses. King James. First John.
First John chapter 4, verse 17.
Always 16 and 17.
Oh, 16 and 17.
Verses 16 and 17. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. In verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because if he is, so are we in this world.
I don't know if you were able to hear that, but...
Oh, yeah, we heard it.
And I'm surprised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I heard it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, did she quote 17 as well?
Yes, she quoted 17 as well, which is one of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
I think it goes well with 18.
Okay.
Verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it again because that's a good verse. I got to get this thing, I got to figure out how to get it light. It says, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world, and there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And you know what love is? That's obeying the commandments. Obeying the commandments. And when you obey the commandments, there is no fear. If you've got fear, you're not in love. If you've got fear, let's cast it out and go on and get back in there. Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Jeanette. Anybody else? I got Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, verse 9. Nope. Is that it? Oh, yeah. I'm going to start in 8. But as for me, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, that abhor justice and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. And I believe that the Lord was, what came to my mind is this apostate leadership we've got going on in the harlot church. And I believe the Lord's fixing to bring them down. Well, I know he is because that's what the word says. And he's already started bringing some down. So anyway, anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on?
Yeah, Michael, I got Isaiah 3 this morning in verses 25 and 26. That whole chapter of Isaiah 3 is about the Lord judging Judah. And as I read it, it just reminded me of what's going on in our country right now. And verse 25 says, thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall be desolate and sit upon the ground. And another verse that really caught my eye was verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. Everything in that chapter just really reminds you of what's going on in this country today.
Amen. There's a lot of it, too. It's amazing to me, looking in the natural, to see how much corruption is going on, how much evil is going on with the politicians up in Washington, and the people just are unaware of anything. You know, it's just amazing to me. I walk around in a stupor with a video game in one hand and a telephone in another. But I think God does that for a reason. All right, because of the apathy of the church, the evilness that's in the church. People have not read their Bible. They allow man to teach them, and they don't want to deal with what's coming up. You know, they don't want to hear about it. But you know, God's got a lot of grace and a lot of mercy, and He's going to shake it to get their attention, and it's going to be a bunch of them come out. It's going to be a bunch of them. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Marley?
I've been led this week to take one of my Bibles and put it under my mom's pillow, and then today the Lord reminded me of Psalm 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father, for healing Marlene's mom.
Amen. I believe that.
Amen. Me too. All right. Anyone else?
Hello, Michael.
This Go ahead, Gano.
The verse that I got by random this morning was, I was on a cross-reference, and the cross-reference was Ezekiel 26, verses 15 and 16. So I'll read those two verses. There, it just seems like there's more verses that go, but it kind of goes on and on. starting with verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord to Tyre, shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded groan, whom the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones, and lay aside their robes, and strip off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground, and shall tremble every moment, and be astonished at thee." And I just think, you know, that's in reference to, you know, the United States again, the state that the country is in, and that there will be judgment coming. And the verse that I got yesterday was kind of a continuation of one that I got last week. It was Hosea 7, verse 1, "When I would heal Israel, then is the iniquity of Ephraim uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief entereth in, and the troop of robbers ravageth without." And that was just a continuation of what I had last week. So I guess that was all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Okay, that last one was Hosea 7 and 1?
Yes. The last one was Hosea 7 1.
All right. Amen. That's, you know, that's what we've been praying to, that the Lord would just uncover all the evil of those politicians up there. And it's being done. You hadn't heard a whole lot out of Black Lives Matters here recently, you know, since we started praying against them. And now you've got another group called New Black Panthers, radical black group, and they just move from place to place. You pray one down, another pops up, so we start praying against that, and we're going to see them go down too. Nothing's going to, you know, prayer is the strongest thing we've got. That's the strongest gun we have, is prayer, and it's working. I'm telling you, it's working. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Vanessa.
I didn't know that you were doing the scripture thing again, so I didn't do it today. But there was one that I got a couple weeks ago, and I was going to. I ended up not being on the conference call, so I'll read what I got then. It's Daniel 4:25.
All right, go ahead.
That thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, that thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will.
Amen. That's happening too. That's going to happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you, Father.
I'm having trouble with this Kindle. It's trying to, there's a demon in there. Y'all just hang on. I'm going to have to get this demon out of there because it's messing up. Okay, I'm back. All right, anybody else get a word? That was Daniel 4:25. Yep, we've gotten that one quite often as well. Some of these people that have left, you know, they're going to be out there eating grass for a while, and then when the Lord so desires, he'll bring them back, and they'll be ready to praise his glory, I'll guarantee you. It's going to happen. Okay, anyone else?
This morning, Michael, I got a verse at random, Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Further down it talks about they're not living according to the word.
Amen. Did you say Jeremiah 20:16?
Jeremiah 23:16.
Oh, 23. Okay. That's why I couldn't get it.
I'm
Jeremiah.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's me.
Okay.
Yep. Don't listen to the false prophets, right?
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of false prophets out there saying, don't listen to these people that are doom and gloom. Because it's not going to happen, you know. We're going to be zapped out of here. Okay, we'll see. You know, when you're not zapped out of here, come on over to the truth and let's talk, you know. Let the Lord guide you. That's something that we all need to do. Always keep an open mind when it comes to God. He can do anything. That God of ours can do anything. That's what I was telling Bill about Lisa. I said, you know, God can do anything. He can bring Lisa. He can save her. He can restore her. And he can do all these things. All our job is to believe. That's what he wants us to have, the faith to believe in God and trust him. That's all he wants us to do.
Amen.
Sometimes our natural eyes is a wall. You know, God ain't going to do that. God's not going to do that. Well, how you know he ain't going to do that? He made you. He can take you out, and he can bring you back. He's done that a number of times. He's done it a number of times. So God can do anything. He pulled Lazarus out of that cave and walked out there, and they had to cut the barrel claws off of him so he could walk, you know. The man was dead for 4 days. You read about that every day. Quite often, you know, people dying and coming back to life. That guy over in Africa, he was dead for, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, and then the Lord brought him back. Testimony after testimony. Howard Pittman, there's one that you ought to read about. He was a Baptist preacher, thought, man, he was doing good. He'd built buildings and all this kind of stuff. Lord took him to hell, said, here's your abode. Because you haven't borne the fruit that I've asked you to borne. But Lord, I built these buildings and I did this and I did that. I see, he said, that's the problem. You did it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. And that's what he wants. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to walk in him. He wants us to abide in him. Allow him to be the one to be our Savior instead of ourselves. And that was that should be an eye opener to a lot of people, you know.
The very next verse makes it clear what they're talking about is, say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his heart, no evil shall come upon you, is what these prophets were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The after the imagination of their hearts, so.
Well, you know, that's because they don't want anything to happen. They want to be able to rest in the knowledge that they're going to be zapped out of here with all their sin and everything, and that they're going to be cleansed on the way up. I've heard that before. You know, God's going to clean me up before I get to heaven, and I'm going to be okay. No, you got to get rid of that stuff down here. And it's not you that's doing it. It's God that does it, and it's by faith that we believe that. So, anyway, let's, anybody else get a word or would like to talk about something?
Hey, Brother Hare.
Hey, Charlie.
I had a thought, and I think it fits, according to what you just said just moments ago. I mean, with this lady that's in the hospital, we really do need to stand in faith and believe God for her. Because when man runs out of solutions and backs off, it's a perfect opportunity for him to step in and do a miracle. And we've got that in the resurrection of Lazarus when Jesus said, "Did I say not unto thee, only believe and you shall see the glory of God." And you know what? That's exactly what we need to see. We need to see the glory of God in this situation. It not only would do the woman great benefit, but it also build our faith, brother. I just wanted to pass that on. God bless you.
Yep, it would build people's faith. It would bring people to Christ. It would bring people in her family to Christ. Not only that, people from all over the world. And let's do that. You know, David has a teaching called imagination through faith. And what he meant by that is you imagine in your mind things that are going on that you prayed for. Well, let's imagine in her mind that Lord has saved her and healed her, and she's coming up out of that bed. We thank you, Lord, for placing that in her mind. And this is all to your glory, Lord, and we thank you for it. Thank you for giving us the faith to believe for Lisa. Believe for her salvation and believe for her health, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Charlie. Yep, we're going to be believing for her. I'm going to keep on. You think about it, just pray for her in the spirit and just imagine her coming up out of that bed. Now, she doesn't weigh but about 50 pounds. But when she comes up out of that bed, she's going to be weighing much more than that. So she's going to have a lot more on her at that time. Praise God.
Yes,
all right, anybody?
I stand in agreement with you. I stand in agreement with you, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right, anybody else want to got a verse or would like to pray about something or just a comment?
No, Michael. This is Daniel. I just wanted to comment. I just have, as we were listening to the Bible study Sunday, I was just really blessed because the dreams and the visions and the verses that he shared as we were listening, we said, you know, we both have gotten a lot of those verses from time to time, and it's just such a confirmation, you know, although we're a long ways from down there, we still receive the same word because it's God's word, and it's just, it's really a blessing, you know, to just hear those again, that someone else got that same thing. So he's telling his people the same thing, and we just thank him and praise him. And that was my comment. Just thank you all for your contributions.
Amen. You know, that's amazing, Gano, because how many verses are in the Bible and people just pick that certain one, or Lord picks it, that certain one. What he's doing, he's saying, look at this. Look at this now. I'm showing you something here. And boy, I'll tell you, we've had that happen in our morning prayer meetings here at the house. I can't tell you how many times we've had that happen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, is that Heather that just came in, and Robert?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit late. I had to finish up dinner, and I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine. We're glad to have you. We're in the middle of, some of us have gotten words from the Lord, and we're discussing those, and we've already had, we've asking for people if they need to pray about something or would like for us to pray. Also, any kind of testimony or praise report, that's what we're doing now. So just feel free to jump in there anytime.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael, just going back to the guy that the Lord spoke to about the earring, I think so many people think they can just play games with God, you know, that he doesn't know. They can do things and he won't know about it. And for him to do that, I just really thought was a awesome thing, because I think he'll tell people about that, and I think that'll affect a lot of people. And I had given him the book about Mary Baker's Revelation of Hell, and he said that really woke him up, along with the Lord speaking to him here, that he needs to make some really drastic changes in his life. And I think there's just an awful lot of people that are in that same place.
Oh, absolutely. I know you're right, Marlon. A lot of people think that they can take their little trinkets with them, and I'll call them trinkets, or sins is what they are, and the Lord's not going to be, he's not going to have it. He's going to have a spotless and blemishless bride. Praise God. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Marlon. That's an awesome testimony. I'm going to share that in the Bible study in the morning. Help me remember that, Pam. And Kurt.
Sure.
All right. Anybody else? Get a word from the Lord, or a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray about something?
Well, I have a praise report. I want to give thanks and praise the Lord for being able to meet with Lois and Judy and Maureen today. I'm new to the area. I felt really comfortable with them. And this came, me meeting Lois after I prayed to be led to the, you know, the truth. I'm grateful that I found a nice group of people, Christian people to socialize with.
Amen. It's been a blessing to all of us. It really has. We've all been in the same situation where we've been in a kind of an isolated place where we didn't have like-minded believers around us. And this gives them an opportunity to come on and share. And it's been awesome. It's been really good. All right. Anybody else? Well, I believe the Lord wants me to share a little bit of something with you. Is Mike Green on here? Mike, are you in here? No, I guess not. Okay. Wanted me to share something with you. And I believe I will. You know, too many people believe that once we enter the kingdom by faith, that's all there is to it. We're just there, and we've crossed the line, everything's okay. But you know, the Bible says that we stand by faith. That means you have to continue to stand in faith. Otherwise, according to what the scripture says, you're going to be broken off. Romans 11:19 says, thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Toward them that fell, severity, but toward thee, God's goodness. If, there's a condition right there, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them again. You know, it's enduring in your faith to the end that manifests that salvation that we're looking for. In Matthew 24:13 it says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And in speaking about the time when God broke off the Jews, Paul made this statement in Romans 11:7. He said, what then, that which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not, but the election attained it, and the rest were hardened. You know, God called his children out of Egypt. But in Jude 5, he says, now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. That's because they didn't endure in their faith. He saved them, but then he broke them off when they didn't believe him. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians today who think they're saved because they stepped over some line way back when they got saved, and now they call themselves Christian. You know, there ain't no line. When you step into the kingdom, you stand by faith, and you continuously stand by faith. And if you don't, you're going to be broken off. And at the time that Jesus came, they were coming to the end of the Jewish dispensation. And that's when God was going to open up the door to us Gentiles. You know what God did to the Jews then, don't you? He said the election attained it, and the rest were hardened. They hardened their hearts. There's two kinds of Christians, you know. There's two kinds of God's peoples. That's the called and the elect. All of the elect are called, but not all of the called are elect. Now, chosen is the Greek word eklektos, which is the same word as elect. In Matthew 22:14, it says, for many are called, but few chosen. You see, a whole lot of people receive the invitation to take of Christ, but it's only those who bear fruit that's going to be chosen. The Bible says the elect of the Jews obtained it and the rest were hardened. And here we are right now. We're coming to the end of the Gentile dispensation. And God's going to do the same thing he did before, only this time the elect of the Gentiles are going to get that salvation and the rest are going to be hardened. This is when God turns back to the Jewish remnant in the last half of the tribulation. Romans 11:8 says, according as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this very day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. and bow thou down their back always. And these same people who were hardened were the people whom God used to persecute his chosen. Folks, there's a great persecution coming upon the people of God. And it's going to be coming from those who loosely have been called Christians or the people of God. Persecution is going to come from people who have a hardened heart. They have been called, but they have refused to walk in the light of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Instead of walking in the light, they're going to be caught up in these religious spirits and religion. And most of them are going to think they're doing God a favor when they persecute those who are following the Lord. And those people you thought were Christians are going to have their hearts hardened. And that's because they refuse to walk with the Lord. They refuse to believe and stand by faith. You know, we have to stand by faith. If we don't stand by faith, we're going to be broken off, just like we talked about. Now, y'all know what faith is. It's the assurance. In other words, the assurance that you have received the substance of what you asked. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. You know, we say we're saved, and it's true, we're saved by faith. But when the Bible says you are saved by faith, it means you are receiving something that you don't see yet. You say, how does that work? I've already received God's Spirit, and I'm saved. No, you're not saved because you received God's Spirit. You're saved because you are believing in what the sacrifice of Jesus accomplished for you, and you're following God's Spirit. That's how come you're saved. Too many people are deceived. They think, I have received God's Spirit, and I've crossed that line. I'm a shoo-in now for the kingdom. That ain't what the Scripture says. Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, receiving God's Spirit doesn't make you a shoo-in. There's two sides to salvation. We receive it in our spirit instantly by faith, but we receive it in our soul, progressively by manifestation. And what we receive by faith in the beginning is going to be manifested as we walk in it and as we stand by faith. What's the substance that this born-again soul is made of? James 1:21 says, "Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted," that means inborn or engrafted, "word," the implanted word, "which is able to save your souls." Receive the inborn or engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That born-again soul is made from the Word of God. That means it's made from Jesus Christ, right? He is the Word. And that puts a lot of importance on renewing our mind with the Word of God, doesn't it? Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the King James Version. Faith in the Word is important. And the Word of faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of your born-again soul. Receive with meekness the engrafted, inborn, or implanted Word. And that Word is the seed of God that brings forth the fruit that's able to save your soul. And if you take that away, where's the ability for your soul to be saved? It ain't there. Excuse me. It's not there. All them people are being deceived into thinking they received salvation by manifestation when they stepped over that line coming into the kingdom. That's almost as bad an imbalance as thinking you're a shoe-in because you received God's Spirit. People are deceived, and they're losing their souls because they're not running the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 is the race. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so, run, that you may attain. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, is what Paul said. We're not running a race against one another. We're running against a clock. And we've only been given a certain amount of time to bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? And if we waste that time, we'll be what the Bible calls an unprofitable servant. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7 says, But who is there of you, having a servant plowing or keeping sheep, that will say unto him, when he is come in from the field, come straightway, and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Even so, ye also, when ye shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Too many people out there who are content to just run down the clock. They're not running, but that clock is running down, and their time is running out. Jesus taught us in Mark 11:23, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith come to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When you pray, believe you have received. And God does everything that way. We pray for salvation, and we believe we have received. But if you don't endure in that faith until you see it manifested, do you ever receive it? No. He says, Matthew 10:22, He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. People don't understand what that term saved really means. David calls it a very encompassing word because it delivers from sin. It delivers from the curse of sin and death, doesn't it? Romans 8:2 says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's pretty audacious to say I'm saved at the beginning of your walk with Christ. But that's what Jesus told us to do. We do it by faith, don't we? We look in that mirror. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them. Somebody needs to mute your phone. I don't know who it was. Okay, that's good. So at the very beginning, we claim our salvation, don't we? In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So we claim that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ living in me. We claim all of that at the very beginning. But listen, we got to endure in our faith. Standing in Christ to see it manifested. And lots of people don't understand that. They step into the kingdom and then they sit down. They don't get in the race. Galatians 5:7 says, You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Listen, there's a race to be run. And there's an enemy to be fought. And there's a battle to be won. And if a person doesn't understand that because of ignorance in the word, then they're not going to get very far at all. You're not going to bear fruit doing that. And you're going to end up with a hard heart, and it'll turn you away from God. So everybody mute your phone. I'm still getting some noise here. Okay. Just to put it in another way, God's salvation was not given to us. God's salvation, God's promise through Abraham, was given to the seed. Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed, he saith not, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Well, what do you mean God's promise wasn't given to us? Well, that's just what I just got through reading. That's what the Bible teaches. How do we manifest God's salvation? But Jesus said in John 15:1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if we abide in Jesus, we're going to bear much fruit. But if we don't abide in him, we're going to wither just like a branch cut off will. So if God's salvation is in Christ, we must abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? Well, you do it by faith. You accept his deliverance by faith. You accept his salvation by faith. And that faith is accounted to you for righteousness because you believe God. It's not righteousness, but it's accounted to you. It's accounted righteousness to you. You're called righteous, and that means justified. If you're doing everything you know to do, you're justified. Romans 4:5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness." You're called righteous because of your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. But then as you walk with your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, your salvation is going to start manifesting. It'll start coming into the seeing realm, into that physical realm. It's not just in the faith realm anymore. It comes into the physical realm. Faith is believing for something that you don't see. And manifestation is when now you're looking at it and you're abiding in Christ. You have salvation. 1 John 5:11. "And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Y'all see where the life is, don't you? It's in his Son. "He that hath the Son hath the life." There it is. "He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life." And that's how come we got to abide in Jesus. When you abide in Jesus, that's the abide in salvation. Malcolm, can you mute your phone? Thank you, bud. It's to stand by faith. And of course, if you don't stand by faith, you don't have any guarantees from the Word of God. None at all. Philippians 2:12 says, "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't allow some preacher to believe some preacher up there telling you that everything's okay. You're getting all you're going to get because you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your soul counts on you doing what the Word says, not what some false preacher tells you. You see, we need to be very careful to seek out our own salvation with that fear and trembling. Remember what Matthew 22 and 14 says. He said, "For many are called, but few chosen." And out of all those whom God called out of Egypt, most of them fell in the wilderness. Now Joshua and Caleb are a type of all those who enter into the promised land because they endured in their faith, didn't they? Let's go see what happened. Numbers 14 and 28. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land. Even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land." Today, God's bringing many sons into the kingdom, and every one of them is enduring in their faith, and they're walking by faith. Our faith must grow, and we must continually put the Word of God into our hearts to know what to exercise faith in. Point is, we got to continue in our faith. 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body." When you abide in Christ, you're abiding in righteousness. And God's purpose is to deliver us from walking in sin and to cause us to be dressed up of Jesus Christ. Romans 13 and 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's salvation right there. We claim salvation right now. But to the extent that we don't look at it and see it, and to the extent that we don't walk in the faith of Jesus Christ, it hadn't manifested yet. We're claiming something that we don't see yet. That's faith. That's what faith is. There's many people who are resting in the flesh. But while you rest in the flesh, you ain't bearing fruit. When you don't bear fruit, you ain't no going anywhere. You're not in the race. That's the unprofitable servant. The one who doesn't bear fruit. The one who doesn't do something with the talent that God gave him. And he's going to be cast forth into that outer darkness, the Word said. Matthew 25 and 14. "For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey." Well, those first 2 servants traded with their talents. They doubled up what the Lord gave them, didn't he? And in Matthew 25 and 18, "But he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth," that's the flesh, "and he hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them." As you found out, the Lord was pleased with the first 2, but he wasn't too pleased with that last one, was he? Matthew 25 and 24. And he also that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. It's real important for people to understand that salvation is a progressive thing, because it motivates you to go on, not to sit down and to rest in the flesh. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they. Listen, if you quoted that verse in most churches, man, they'd holler you down. Because they'd say, we already are saved. Well, Paul said it is true, right? You know, what's the difference between they are saved and Peter's shall be saved? The difference is that now we're talking about the manifestation of salvation in our life, not just receiving it by faith. There are as many verses in the Bible that point this out as there are verses that tell you to claim salvation by faith. Y'all know that? Acts 15 and 12, And all the multitude kept silence, and they hearkened. If you said that in church today, they wouldn't keep silent. They'd shout you down, man, I'm telling you. Because they tell you, we are saved. If I said that prayer and I got baptized, everything's okay now. It's because they like that resting of the flesh. They're not getting rid of the flesh. They're resting in the flesh. We do have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, don't we? And the Bible says God can break you off if you don't stand by faith. Romans 11:20. Well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither would he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and severity of God toward them that fell. Severity, but toward thee God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Let's don't get scared out of our faith, but let's have enough respect for God to do what we were put here for. Paul called it a race. We were put here to run that race, and we're racing against time. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 says, Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel. What is the gospel? That's the good news, isn't it? Which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also you stand, by which also you are being saved. Past the original. You are being saved. Circle the next word. If, I'm being saved, if, yep, that's right, that's what the Bible said, verse 2, by which also you are being saved, if ye hold fast with that word. It says, if you hold fast with what word? What word is it? It's the word I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. And if we don't hold fast to that original word, then we've believed in vain. It can be a waste of your time unless you hold fast to the word that was once preached unto the saints. Right? Jude 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith that we have to have, the faith that works, and that's the faith that's in agreement with the Word of God. It has to be with what word I preached unto you, except you believed in vain, not what you hear from the churches today. Paul says you're being saved if you hold fast to this word. Ain't nothing changed in the Bible. It's all there for us to read. It's conditional faith. We've been taught by the apostate church and the apostate preachers that salvation is not conditional. But the Bible says it is. In Colossians 1:21, let me show you something else here. And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Verse 23, if, circle that word, there's that conditional word, if again. We've been told that we're the church, the spotless and blemishless bride, ready to go up and meet the Lord in the air. It don't say that, does it? Colossians 1:22. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that ye continue in the faith. They leave that part out. Grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. What he was saying, and now you reconcile through the body of his flesh through death in order to present you without blemish and unprovable if you continue in the faith. Paul wasn't telling them that they are spotless and blemishless. He's telling them that this is a process and it's something that God's doing. You know, they were spotless and blemishless by faith, but they hadn't manifested it yet, had they? God's faith is a means to an end. What good is faith if it doesn't change people, huh? Faith is a means to bring you to God's deliverance, his manifestation, his Christ-likeness. You've wasted your time if you come to the end of this life with what you've called faith and there hadn't been any work from it. James chapter 2 and verse 20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's barren. It's incomplete, as the Bible says. Because real faith changes you, and it changes things. There's an if in this reconciliation, and there's an if in this salvation. And that if depends on our continuing in the faith of this word. You can't trust in the unbalanced doctrines of men. Some teach salvation by our own works. And we are saved by works. But it's the works of God through us because we've got faith, right? Some teach that salvation has all been accomplished by manifestation and that we don't have to do anything to work it out. Both of those errors are going to destroy you. Our main purpose, according to the book of Acts here on earth, is to search and run after God. Acts 17:24. The God that made the world and all things therein, he, being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath in all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are to pursue after God, if perchance we might find him, as the word says. Hebrews 12:14, follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. You know what sanctification is? It's separation from the world, separation from sin unto God. That's what it means. First, you have to be separated from your sin by faith, because faith is accounted as righteousness. Romans chapter 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. We're reckoned righteous by our faith, and second by manifestation. That reckoned righteous by faith is the means to the end. God's purpose is not fulfilled in the reckoning. God's purpose is fulfilled in the manifestation. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly or completely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the... Somebody speaking? Somebody's got their microphone unmuted.
Yeah, sorry, Paul. Mike, we have power outage, and I guess that means my mute button failed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, in the name of Jesus, come on back on, electricity. Thank you, Lord. You want me to mute you?
Yeah, if you would.
Okay, let's do it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly or completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all think it's possible for God to do that? I don't think it'd be a very smart prayer for Paul to pray if it wasn't possible, do you? There's too many people out there today who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness because they don't want to believe that sanctification is even possible for them. They think you only need to be forgiven. But he says, sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see that progression that God wants there. First spirit, and then the soul, and then the body. That's his plan. That's God's plan. And if you don't agree with him in the sanctification of your soul, will you ever get a new body? No, you won't. God's plan is that you have to bear fruit in the area of the soul to get the new body. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. So you got to take care of the temple. And the only way you can take care of it is through faith. Now, you can sometimes defile your body in ways that you don't even know about. You know that you can't find a verse that says that you're not supposed to smoke. But it does say if you destroy the body, God's going to destroy you, doesn't it? Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how are we going to escape? In other words, if you get cancer of the lungs because you smoke, then you destroyed your own body. And what does God say he's going to do about that? By the way, why do we have doctors, at least in the permissive will of God? Well, it's because people don't believe. And he doesn't want them to die until they have every chance to believe. And he permits things in this world to happen on a natural level in order to bring us into that spiritual understanding. God's method of salvation, whether it be healing, deliverance, or whatever, is always through faith in what Jesus did. It's looking back at the cross. It's always in the past, right? You know why we're healthy? Most of us are healthy. We've been given that gift of health because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. He took the stripes in order for us to be healthy. He gave you his healthy body, and he took your unhealthy body. He made that exchange, and we're going to see that in Lisa too. Jesus gave us his blessings and took our curses. He gave you his sinlessness, and he took your sins. Boy, I like that. That was a total exchange there, wasn't it? And how do we receive that salvation? How do we come to manifest in it? Well, it ain't by our work. Salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And you're not going to keep that body healthy by your wisdom about how many chemicals and how many herbs you can put into it. Your body is healthy because Jesus gave you health at the cross. And if you think that by your works you can keep that body healthy, you're in for a rude awakening. Because it doesn't matter how many chemicals and herbs you put into it, you'll fail in your witchcraft. And that's what the Bible says medicine and drugs are. Galatians 5:20, Revelation 9:21, Revelation 18:23. And that Greek word is pharmakia. And it's where our word pharmaceutical comes from. God's salvation is not going to be by works. It's free. If it's not free, it's not grace, is it? It's unmerited favor. That means you can't earn it. But you do have to earn all that money you pay for those supplements, don't you, and all that drugs. And it comes hard by the sweat of the brow. It ain't cheap nowadays. But God's salvation is free. And that's why it's through faith and not through works. Salvation for the body, salvation for the soul, and salvation for the spirit comes through our faith. It's free. If it costs anything, it's not God's method, I'm telling you. And it's also past tense. God's salvation is past tense. So it can't be accomplished through your works. You are already healed, 1 Peter 2:24 said, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. If you were healed, then you are healed, right? And if you are healed, then you can't be looking for health or healing through any kind of works of man. And if you're looking for healing, you don't believe that you were healed. It's simple, isn't it? All the deliverance of God was done back at the cross. And if you continue in your work trying to deliver yourself, you're proving that you don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says it's already done. You're still trying to deliver yourself when the Bible says you've already been delivered and healed and set free, praise God. God's salvation is free. It's free for the spirit, for the soul, and for the body. It don't make any difference if you're trying to save your soul or whether you're trying to save your body. It's ultimately going to end in failure, and God's going to make sure that it fails. He's not going to let you save yourself. He's going to make sure that all of your efforts to make yourself healthy, to make yourself safe from sin, or to deliver yourself from the curse, whatever it might be, he's going to make sure it fails. Well, all right, I'm going to just stop there and see if we have any comments about what we talked about there. Anybody got any comments? Or anything they'd like to share about what we're talking about?
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
This is Matthew. I'm calling in from my phone, so I just got off work a little while ago. But I just have a couple of praise reports. I don't mean to be off subject, but one is that I actually didn't even get to go through my trial week for full time. My boss's boss came in and offered me full time right there and then and there. So I praise the Lord on that one, because that's only the Lord moving there. And probably about a week ago, I called David because I was going through some teeth problems. My wisdom teeth were coming in, and my gums were swollen, and my cheek was swollen. And so we prayed about it, and I stood my faith for several days, and it went away. So that's done. So I praise the Lord on that one. So, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, man, that's you just went to work there, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for more favor for Matt at his work, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Yeah, I want to praise the Lord. Our power just came back on.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's the little things in life, isn't it, Stan?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That was really good what you shared on what you were teaching there. This is Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara.
I really thought that was really good. I'm still standing and believing for my husband. He's quite not there yet. But it's all really good. I'm hoping he'll listen to this maybe later, but it was really good.
All right. Lord, we just thank you that he will listen to it. We ask, Lord, that you place it in his heart to listen to it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Come on now, y'all help me out here. Hi, Tracy. See you joined us, that's good. You know, that's one reason I shared it. There's a lot of people that believe, like, you know, all of us probably believe some portion of that. I've been saved, I'm already saved, I'm headed for heaven, man, you know, that kind of business. Until you get into the Word and you find the truth of the Word, and it just starts opening our eyes to the very fact that, hey, look, this we got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's an eye-opener, because the mainline denominations don't teach salvation is progressive. It's a walk that you do, and you do it by faith and believe that God does that in you. So this once saved always saved. We went over a number of verses there that dispelled that right away. There's always conditions to your salvation. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like to hear a dream I had the other night? I was going to send it in, but...
Yeah, go for it, brother.
It started out with where Blake and myself were working for... Walmart, that's all places, but we were working there, and I was getting new brake lights for my car. So I bought these, then we went out to the car, and I was like, oh no, I wanted to buy the brighter ones. So we went back into the store to get the brighter ones, and they took the whole light section, and they moved it all in different places, and they scattered it. And so I was looking all over the store trying to find them. And then I was with this, take care of this young lady and her child. I was, you know, helping them along, whatever I could do to help them. But, then a little time passed, and then suddenly we were at this funeral. And everybody from UBM and David was there, and we were all sitting on the left side of the church. And we were, and that's where the dead person was. It was right there, you know, right in front of us. And then there was my mom's church, and they were on the right side of the building. And so, you know, everybody from my church started praying and, you know, commanding her to come back to life in Jesus' name. And I was going along with it. And then I was going to go up there to touch the body and command her to come back to life. But as soon as I got up to the young lady, her eyes were open. And she was alive. And I guess she came alive. David was going to lay hands on her as well and command her to come alive. And as soon as he touched her, she woke right up out of death. And so we were all, you know, praising the Lord. And my mom's church doesn't believe in, you know, miracles like that. And so she was making fun of the whole, all our praising the Lord and commanding to, you know, work to bring her back to life. And so I just got really angry. But it wasn't me, it was like really like inside of me got really angry with my mom, and I started to come against all their beliefs. And I started to point out all the verses that come against their beliefs. And then it's the end of the dream, I think. No? Then she just, you know, walked away and didn't want to argue anymore. And then we go to this next scene where Blake, Anna, and myself were going onto this plane to leave. And that was the end of the dream.
Okay, well, you know, she might have represented the apostate church. Well, of course she did. And that's a pretty good dream. That's what's going to happen. The truth of the word shuts their mouth. What'd you get out of all of it there, Matt?
I'm not quite sure. The light thing has to do with the brightness, because we are the light of the world, our light of Jesus. And the storm was trying to scatter the light. And resurrection, I don't know much. The Lord hasn't revealed much to me about it. And coming against, you know, the apostate church and against, you know, people who make fun of, you know, what real truth of the Bible is. You know, I felt that that was the Holy Spirit, you know, saying, hey, you're making fun of me, you know, and coming against what they believe. But that's about it, what I'm getting out of it. But that's why I was going to send it in to see if, you know, Michael, or not Michael, but David, can get any more out of it.
yeah, send it in to David. He'll do something. Anybody else get something out of Matt's dream? One at a time now, not everybody at once.
Hey, Matt, this is Malcolm. I had a question. You said you guys are on the left-hand side of the church, and your mom and those guys are on the other right side. Did you attach any significance to those positions?
When I first thought about it, you know, the left side, I was like, you know, why are we here on the left side? But we were all in front of the everybody on the left side was right in front of the dead young lady. And we were all praying, and then, you know, she arrived. So there has to be some significant about it, but I don't quite know.
Yeah.
Was she in front of the building there?
No, she was like, you know, if you ever go to like a funeral home that they have
you know, usually they have the person that's deceased right in the middle, right in front of, you know, at the head of everybody. Well, this lady was off to the left, right in front of our side of the building.
In front of y'all?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know. That's a good one for David. Somebody got something they'd like to share about that?
Well, I see, this is Dave, I see it being struggles. You mentioned you went into the store the first time to get some lights, and you realized when you came out you wanted brighter lights, which was a good thing. You know, you're continuing to grow in the Lord, brighter light, going for more light, you know, more light in your life. But when you got inside, you could see you had more of a struggle again because now everything's rearranged, everything moved around, you can't find it, so it sounds like there's a spiritual warfare going on there. And you said you were helping somebody out, a woman with her child, huh?
Yeah. I don't know who the woman was, but she was the one who died and got resurrected.
The woman was the child, or the woman was the one that had the child?
She had the child. It was her child. There was no father in the dream, but later on, you know, she died and then got resurrected.
Well, that's a good thing. So you're looking at resurrection life. You're seeing the flesh having died. So you've got this going to happen at the beginning of or during the time of tribulation. We're all going to give up our flesh eventually into the end. It's that Red Sea crossing where the old woman dies, but the new woman's raised. So the spiritual woman's raised. That's a good thing, actually. That's a pretty good dream. I've been kind of getting into a little bit of that myself, reading this over a little bit, and I'm trying to understand more. I kind of directed today in my studies a little bit, influenced from the Lord, looking at the Jubilee cycle a little bit, the man-child, and how that's all fits together, because I believe we're in a Jubilee cycle right now. Is that correct, Michael?
No, it ended, a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because that supposedly will be the start of the man-child ministry to a degree.
I thought...
Go ahead.
When was it, Malcolm?
Wasn't it through August or September?
Okay.
Yeah, through September, I thought. You know, 2015 to 2016, the end of September.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, right. I think it's... I don't remember, September or something or other.
And I was listening to David. He made reference to the Jubilee year beginning the man-child ministry, and that he's thinking that when Jesus came on the scene and started his ministry, and he said he came to us to proclaim the year of the Lord, or to set the captives free, that when he was making that statement, it was the beginning of the Jubilee. And he's going to basically, the man-child is going to be doing the same thing with us. Now he's finishing that statement in Isaiah. And that would be his ministry to set, you know, to get the bride ready, of course, and get the true word out. And then the bride's going to be setting everybody else free with what the man-child's teaching. So, and this is going to be really fast occurrences. And a lot of quick teaching, a lot of people coming into the kingdom, a lot of the death, like you're seeing the woman dying in the church and coming back to life. It's going to be a lot of those occurrences in people's lives. So pretty interesting stuff, all this stuff happening. Now, this is the last Jubilee. This is what we're going to be seeing happening.
Okay. Praise God. All so, right.
Michael,
go ahead, Malcolm.
I'm sorry, I'm a little distance from the radio. I think this is the 50th year. There's the 777 of the year, the 49th year, and then there's the 50th year. So we're at the tail end of the 50th year, isn't that right?
Well, what I understand, we are. What do you think, David? Is that it?
I don't know. I was trying to understand the Jubilees. So you're thinking, there's a total of 70 Jubilees altogether? and this would be the of the 69 weeks. This would be the 70th. Is that how it goes?
Well, the sabbatical, the whole Jubilee, the cycle is 777 up to 7 sevens, which is 49, and then there's a year after that. It's like a double. I don't know where the.
Oh, you're just thinking like the actual 49th year, then the 50th year.
Right, yeah, that's what my question was. Is this the 5th, 49th, or 50th? I think it's the 50th, but I'm sorry, I haven't checked it out.
Yeah, I don't know that either. I'm just trying to get a little grasp and finger on this myself.
The 70 weeks, I think, a different prophecy.
Well, that'll be part of the... of course, when the Jubilee starts or ends, whenever, just like when Jesus, when he proclaimed his ministry at the, I don't know if it was the end of the Jubilee or it was on a Jubilee, but when it was a Jubilee year when he proclaimed it and started his ministry. So we're going to see the same thing repeat with a man-child. Now with us, when it begins, when his man's ministry starts, that starts again, will we see the tribulation year start? The sixth week of the 69 weeks start for the 70th week. So that all comes into play too.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I've heard him say that this is the 50th year, the Jubilee year. We're in the last of the 50th year.
And this is our rest.
What I can remember, yeah.
And this will begin the rest, meaning we're going to rest in the unleavened bread. And this, you know,
it means the tribulation.
Yeah, and it's putting to death the old man, which represents that woman dying, and then raising up the new woman. You know, it'd be a spiritual woman.
Amen. Well, all right, we're kind of winding down here now. Thank you, David and Malcolm. Anybody got anything? And Matt too. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, send that in to David. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we close out?
Just one more thing. We've just been going through the second part of Pilgrim's Progress, a dramatized version, which is kind of fun, which is Christina. And then I went back to the first part. Of course, we've read it before, but to hear the dramatized version is kind of fun. And then I've started reading... it's Abounding Grace or something, but it's basically John Bunyan's conversion story. Very interesting, and it's also very interesting about, you know, the 1600s. He used to get quite a kick out of just ringing church bells. I guess the bad guys are known for running around ringing church bells for the fun of it. But anyway, it's just a neat, you know, like... the way God worked with him.
Amen. Well, okay, Father, we just thank you so much for this time tonight that you've had us fellowship, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon everybody tonight and in the days ahead. Father, we ask that you place that hunger in our heart for you, Lord, that we would run after you, Father, with all our heart. Get close to you, Lord. Allow us to get close to you, Lord. And I know you will, because that's what you desire for our fellowship, Lord. And I ask, Lord, and I pray for everybody that's here tonight, that you bless them with a good night's sleep and more revelations in your word, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Well, good night, saints. We'll see y'all Thursday night, I guess, Lord willing.